Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Creating You, Creating Her, Bosses in Business. I'm Angelica Miller, your host and CEO of AGM Social Media Management Boutique, and I'm so excited to have everyone here today. Just a little bit about AGM Social Media Management Boutique. Our mission is to amplify the voice of women CEOs in the online and service-based industry by telling their brand story and their authentic voice to capture the attention and the hearts of the audience they serve, to help you be able to bring people into your funnel and serve them to your God-given best. But it's not about me tonight. It is all about my special guest today. And that is Sabrina Franklin. She's the founder and CEO of Franklin Insurance Solutions, LLC. I've had the pleasure of meeting Sabrina. We are both part of the first cohort of the Goldman Sachs 100 Black Women in Business. And I met her in New York in May. And wound up having breakfast with her one morning with a bunch of other lady, wonderful CEOs. And just her story just really touched me and interested me. So I had to ask her right away at that breakfast, you know, that I would love to bring her on the show to talk about. This is a very important piece of your business. And I feel, you know, she has that knowledge to help us move along in our processes in business. But just to give you just a little bit of background about Sabrina, she's the CEO, the founder and CEO of Franklin Insurance Solutions, LLC, advocates for employee and group benefits. She has served the community in the finance insurance arena in various capacities, including being a financial representative in health and supplemental insurance broker. The Franklin Insurance Solutions, LLC, agency supports small business owners and member-based associations. So Sabrina, I know I just read your bio, but is there anything else you would like to share?
Well, first of all, I would like to say thank you so much for inviting me to speak to your audience. And hopefully I have a few friends on here as well. Well, I would like to just share how I got into this industry. So first of all, in my former life, I was an educator, but I had to cut that career short for a moment because in 1999, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And at that time, I was 28 years old. So I was specifically diagnosed with a disease called lupus. And what lupus is, it is an autoimmune disease that attacks healthy tissue. So we know after going through the pandemic, we understand how, a virus can attack our body and in our immune system is supposed to protect us. Well, with an autoimmune disease, with lupus, the immune system starts to attack healthy tissue. And so I was diagnosed with that in 1999, and I suffered with that for over 11 years. By 2007, I was no longer able to drive. And so while I was going through that process, I had to see many, many, many doctors. And this was way back in the time when health insurance was not as expensive as it is now, where you had a deductible of $250 or $500. So if you went in the hospital, okay, you could deal with that. And I, you know, during that time period, I had been in the hospital multiple times. I was seeing so many different doctors, so many different specialists. I told a friend, I said, I feel like Humpty Dumpty and they just cannot put me back together again. So going through all of that, the one thing that was in the back of my mind. First of all, my two income household has now gone down to one income because I had to stop teaching. I could not manage the disease and continue to my responsibility as a teacher and all that those duties entail. And so I had to stop working. But so my income decreased, but our expenses increased because I was seeing so many doctors, rheumatologists, oncologists, because my blood levels were low. They kept threatening to give me transfusions. I was seeing a cardiologist because it was affecting my heart. I was seeing the digestive doctor. I can't remember what you call them, but I had multiple colonoscopies. Just every system in my body was affected. So, but praise God, by 2010, I was then in remission. I had actually found a doctor who was a functional medicine doctor who, for the first time, pulled everything that everybody had seen, pulled together and said, okay, I'm going to start building you from the ground up. So that's a whole nother story. So with that being said, I was concerned about my finances. I was concerned about how much my medical expenses were costing. And I was also concerned about what's going to happen to my children. Okay. If something were to happen to me, what is going to happen to my children? So I kept thinking, okay, I need to get insurance. I need to make sure I keep insurance. One of them was life insurance. So that's how I got into this industry. Mm-hmm. After getting my life insurance and all of that in place, once I was in remission at a stage where I could be insured, because there was a time that I couldn't be insured. But after I had been disease free or symptoms of the disease for a while, then I was able to get insurance. And I was like, you know what? I think this is a great industry for me to get into because I know the importance of it.
No, being an advocate, that's amazing. I know recently we had a little health scare for my husband, and I still work a 9-to-5 running my business. And I was sitting in the hospital thinking, what would happen if we didn't have insurance? You yeah. know, that is just a scary thought, because you never know when you're going to get sick. That's you know, right. You can wake up one day perfect, and the next day something just major can happen. And when you see those insurance bills come in, you know, that's just another level of worry that you have, trying to pay your regular bills. And then you have these huge, huge hospital bills. So I just love your story. And when you shared that when we were in New York, it just really touched me, because I don't want to see anyone without it, especially if you own a business and yes. you have yourself, and you may have employees, and that insurance piece is an important piece of your portfolio to me. So I just thank you for sharing your personal story, because I think that will help people understand, you know, the true importance of insurance and trying to make sure that they budget for this to keep it as ongoing for them and for their employees if they decide to provide that benefit. So as a small business owner, how do we determine which type of health insurance plan is the best for our business and company size? And I know you're going to talk about two. One is fully funded health plan, and the other is self-funded health plan. So if you could start just explaining this, helping us walk through, because this is definitely not a territory I'm familiar with at all. So,
well, you know, I understand that as new business owners. So I'm a first generation business owner. I don't know about you, mm-hmm. but as new business owners, all of this is new to us. So it is a process. So, but that's a great question that you have asked. What type of insurance should you get based on the size of your company and, you know, what is the best one? So one thing you should know is, if you have less than 50 employees, providing health insurance is optional for you as a small business owner. Okay. That's the first thing. So it's not mandatory that you offer it, but I will like to tell you why you should offer it. One of the reasons why you should offer it is because, first of all, if you have a team, are you relying on that team? You're relying on them to come in, to show up in their best, with their best energy, with their best talent every day to do the task that you have hired them to do. But the question is, if they're dealing with a health issue, how is that possible? Right. So what are their options? And I won't get into those options. I'll talk about the fully funded and self-funded first, but their options are really limited, just like yours. As it, you know, honestly, For Black and Brown businesses, about 94% of our business owners are solopreneurs. Exactly. So that they are a small business. They are running a small business, of one. But when you have employees, the question is, how valuable are those employees to you? And how do you show that value? Offering benefits or even investigating what your options are is a step in saying that you care. I have run into some business owners who just say, you know, my employees don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want to offer it. I'm like, but are you open to sitting down just to see what your options are? Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times as small business owners, because I said this is new to us, sometimes we perceive what the cost is going to be. So if you're a larger company with about 20 employees or more, a fully funded plan, so you can that fully funded plan might be a good option for you. So what is a fully funded plan? So what if you had insurance when you were on your job through your employer, you normally would have had major medical insurance. So major medical would be include you can go to the doctors, you can get your labs done, you can go in the hospital, you know, it will cover those expenses, you know, once you met either your deductible, your co-payments, your co-insurance, then you have that coverage for major medical insurance. So fully funded plan is a major medical plan as well as a self-funded plan. But the difference is a fully funded plan looks at the whole group and rates the group based on the number of people in the group. So the premiums are based on covering the average health of the group, if that makes sense. Yes. It covers it. So a fully funded plan is going to be, I would say, your most expensive plan, but it will be the plan that would be comprehensive for a larger group. Now, I suggest that small business owners, even those who have 20 or less than 50, to investigate self-funded plans. Now, this is what's new. Self-funded plans haven't been on the scene very long, and a lot of people don't know about it. But a self-funded plan is still major medical insurance. The major companies, you can write, the insurance can be written through major medical companies. I don't want to name any, but there, if you think about a self-funded plan, I think of it in buckets. So, you know, when you use your insurance, you are now creating a claim. The insurance company is going to say, okay, what have they negotiated with the physician? What have they negotiated with the facility that you're getting the services from? Okay, now what portion is the insurance company going to pay of that negotiated price? And what is your portion as the member, the patient? What is your portion for the insurance? So what a self-funded health plan does is it allows the employer to have a little more control over how much those premiums are going to cost. Mm-hmm. Because a fully funded plan says you're going to get one flat rate and it's not going to change. It doesn't matter if you have a very, very sick group or a very, very healthy group. You're going to have that one flat rate. So a self-funded plan, everybody who is going to be insured under that plan. Now, this is the difference. They do have to go through underwriting. So that means that each employee, and if you're a business owner, you will have to, give your date of birth, because it's based on age. It's based on if you have any medical conditions. It's a basic underwriting, but it's very good for what I call virgin businesses. That means you have never had health insurance, so therefore you have no claims. So you don't have a history. So it's almost like you're starting with a new slate. Now, it is based on age and gender. And so I will say this, if you have and this is a question that I get sometimes, they say, is it cheaper to have in a group full of women or a group full of men? It's cheaper to have a mixture. But with women, guess what? We use our insurance. Mm-hmm. Right. We use our insurance. So if you have younger women who are your employees and they're in child bearing age, okay, to put it that way, your group may be rated a little higher than a group where it's all men because they don't use their insurance. But and when they're younger, but when they get older, that's when they start, their group starts to, their insurance is higher because of all those years that they did not use their insurance. Now disease that could have been managed is now starting to manifest itself. Okay. So with a self-funded plan, there's three buckets. Part of the premiums that you pay goes to the insurance company to administer the plan. That means to pay the claims, pay the doctors, all of that. Then part of the money goes into a claims bucket, which that they can pull from. And then part of it goes into what's called a stop loss bucket. The stop loss bucket is actually insurance that's covering the insurance. Okay. It's insurance that's covering the insurance. So that if your group just so happens, if your group has, you have three or four women who got pregnant, somebody had a car accident, it's a lot of claims that your, even if the money that's in your claims bucket is exhausted, you have that extra layer of protection that will not allow your the claims to be too much for the insurance company to bear. But I will say this, the next year they're going to re-rate your group. It will be higher. That it will. But I suggest going the self-funded route first. And okay. Then when things, because you could every year you need to reshop and revisit and look and see what's out there.
Okay. And so do you do that for your clients just, or do they have to call and say, can you shop around?
No. We're definitely going to have a meeting, an annual meeting and some check-ins. Okay. Throughout the year, just to see how things are going. And then, just to see, is everything okay? But we definitely you'll be on the schedule.
Okay. That was so eye-opening, the difference between the fully funded and the self-funded. And especially the part where you talked about your age gap, if you have the younger and then, a mixture of ages in there. It kind of reminds me of when you talked about the third bucket of the self-funded health plan, that almost reminds me of like car insurance per se.
Exactly.
Car insurance. If you get in an accident today, your rates probably won't go up for this particular span of your insurance plan, but next year they will re-rate you.
And I'm glad that you're making that comparison because people have to understand this is insurance. Mm-hmm. So they're here to protect, but they're also here to make money. So, on that same premise, if you have car insurance, if you raise your deductible, your premiums are going to be less, right? So same thing with health insurance, with the self-funded or fully funded plan. How can you lower, if you choose either way, how can you lower the premiums? You would have to raise the deductibles. And that's what's going on right now. Right now, in order for the insurance to be considered affordable, we have to have these high deductibles. And this is one of the things that as a broker, that I sought to look for insurance companies that could that will help me help my clients to manage this process, to manage their bills so that it's user friendly and they can afford the premiums.
No, that's piece was a real eye opener for me. Especially as I'm bringing more people on now and our day and age now, people are looking for what is that extra thing you can give me. And I loved when you talked about, the importance, how you value basically is how you value your employees that you're working with.
Yes.
And insurance is an important piece of life, mm-hmm. And to me, it's something that you know, you can't say no to, because it's such an important piece of your life, not just your business, it's your life, because you can get sick at any time and you need to do those yearly checkups like you're supposed to stay healthy, to, you know, try to stay ahead of everything. So that was really eye-opening for me. So how can small business owners help employees with the cost of health insurance? And I think you kind of tapped on that just a little bit with the previous discussion, but just in case we didn't quite get it.
Okay. So so when you have a major medical insurance, health insurance plan, you are required as a small business owner to contribute to the employer's, to the employee's premiums. So it could be as less as 50%. You must at least cover half of their premiums, but it could be as much as 100%. So when you talk about what type of insurance should an employer offer based on their size, it's based on your revenue. If you are, if your team is producing outstanding revenue for the company, why wouldn't you get them the best,
right?
Yes. Why would you not try to get them the best, right? Yes. And you can, you know, you can either pay 50% or more, because these are perks. And with this being the season of what do they call it, resignation, we're in this time of resignation, and you have to have that competitive edge. Yes. What is going to allow your employees to continue to maintain, you know, a healthy lifestyle while providing, you know, their talents for you? If they have to go seek someone else, another company because of that, you know, that is when you probably really should just visit with a broker. And I would also like to say, if you are currently offering health insurance and you're the kind and you have a broker who doesn't really visit with you, they just kind of call you and say, hey, how's it going? Are we going to renew this year? And you go, yeah. Okay. They didn't really do their job.
Okay.
That is, you know, things change all the time. You know, every year, you know, and especially when you have a new administration come into the White House, when you're in election year, things change. And I know people we don't want to get political about it, but health insurance is political now. So things could change next month. Mm-hmm. So you should have a broker who is open to reaching out to you, or their door is open for you to contact them and say, hey, is what I'm getting the best? Or, you know, what's changed? How can that affect me? Also, keeping in contact with your tax advisor, you know, your accountant, your CPA. All of this is going to help you determine what you can do, what you can afford, how you know, the tax laws are changing. All of I tell people that health insurance is a financial product. It limits your financial risk in the event of a catastrophic health crisis. So it is a financial product. Also, with costs, as I said, just being open to seeing what's out there. Now, we talked about fully funded plans, and we also talked about the self-funded plans, which are major medical plans. Mm-hmm. But one thing we have not talked about is what's called some alternative plans. Okay. And one that I really like for small business owners is what's called a minimum essential coverage plan. It has to meet all the requirements of the Affordable Care Act. It has to meet all those requirements. It has to provide wellness exams at 100% coverage, without the patient having to, or the employee having to pay any out of pockets, like going to get that cancer colonoscopy screening that we're supposed to get. It used to be at age 50. Now it's age 45 that they're saying that you need to go get that cancer colonoscopy screening at age 45. Or you can go get your mammogram. All of these are at no cost, because these are diagnostic exams to detect disease early. But it also provides you with 100% coverage of telemedicine. It also provides you with unlimited visits to physicians, such as your primary care and your specialist. It provides coverage to go to urgent care, labs, and x-rays, and prescriptions. The one thing it does not cover is hospitalization. Mm-hmm. So when I am talking to small business owners who are offering nothing, I ask them, have you ever heard of the MEC plan or the minimum essential coverage plan? And most of the time it's no. And so then I'm like, are you open to seeing if this could be something that would benefit your employees? And I'm going to tell you why. So industry standards say that what is deemed as affordable as far as a health insurance premium, a monthly premium for an employee, what is deemed as affordable? And it's like 9.8%. Something's right around there. So they say about 9.8%, or let's just say 10% of an individual's monthly salary could go towards their insurance premium. So we look at someone who's making about, and I kind of did the math a little bit. If we're looking at someone who is making about $3,000 a month, this is, you know, about $3,000 a month, about 10%, they say that $300 a month would be affordable for that individual to pay. All right. But then, and they're making about, that person's making about $18 an hour. So then I calculated about the $15 an hour. I think I got about about $2,000, somewhere around there. They're making about $2,000 a month, or $2,400 a month. So what's an affordable premium for them would be $240 a month. But let's be honest, that's deemed affordable as far as insurance, the industry goes, but is it deemed affordable for that individual? So when I sit down with my business owners, I'm looking at what's the average salary of your employees? Now we're really talking about what's affordable. What plan you should be looking at.
Okay. Oh, that's thank you for sharing that one. I have never heard of alternative plans myself, so that is very interesting and enlightening. When you have small businesses who select this, what is the conversation? Do you help guide them with the conversation that they will have with their employees that, yes, is covering preventative, but if you have to go into hospital, that piece is not covered? Because that's a tough one to tell people if you select this form of a plan.
Well, see, the thing about it is that these are options. Mm-hmm. So if a person has the option of getting full coverage, but not be affordable for them and their family, mm-hmm. and meaning the premiums may be affordable, And maybe the premiums are even just a little bit of a stretch. The question is, can you afford to use the plan? If you have a $5,000 deductible, well, the average deductible is about $2,500, $3,000 now. So if you have a $2,500 deductible, and before the insurance is going to pay anything towards your medical bills, you have to pay 100% of it. So when you go to the doctor, you're going to say, okay, what is your calling? You're going to have to call and say, hey, this is my insurance. They say, well, it's not covering. And they're going to let you know, okay, you haven't met your deductible. And so this visit is going to be about $238. Do you want to book it? Okay. Do you want to schedule this appointment? And so you schedule the appointment. They send you to get labs. Sometimes the labs are included with the visit. Sometimes doctors have labs, and, you know, it depends. But if you have any extra labs that's not associated with what's going on, then that may be another cost. So the question is, what's deemed affordable for your company? And the beautiful thing about it is that an employer can have a mixture of insurance products. It's called what's called a carve out. So for the executive team, for the administration, they may want a fully funded plan or a self-funded plan. For their lower wage employees, for their contract workers, because contract workers can also be insured on the MEC plan. So for their contract workers, they can then offer the MEC plan. The only thing is that if you do a carve out, you have to specify who gets what, and everybody has to be equal. So all administration, or you know, has to have one type of plan. And then you can even do, I want to offer a self-funded plan or a major plan to my full-time workers, and then I want to offer a MEC plan to my part-time workers. So you know, it takes work. We look at what you really have going on, what your team consists of, what the salaries look like, and what's affordable.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was actually my question after you had started talking about the alternative plans. Is there a way to mix it up? So that's even more exciting to know that you can mix the plans up.
Yes.
You know, to make sure everybody has something. So thank you for explaining that. So one of our last questions is, what factors do we need to consider if we want to offer coverage to the families of employees, in addition to, you know, so employee or employee and their families? What, how do we kind of walk through that?
So as I said, if you have less than 50 employees, you don't have to offer insurance at all. But if you, when you offer insurance, you always have the option to say, this, I am going to offer employee only plans, or I'm going to offer employee family plans, but I'm only going to pay. If you're paying, contributing towards the plan, you can say, I'm only going to contribute towards the employee. And the employee has to pay 100% of their the additional premiums for their children or for their spouse or for the family.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So that helps me understand that, you know, we do have this software, and it's kind of what I have now. When you think about what I'm doing now for my family, I'm on a family plan.
Okay.
For my insurance policy and health policy. So thank you for that. While you have given so much insight and so many nuggets through this interview, I'm going to have to go back and re-listen and, you know, probably schedule a call with you. Do you do discovery calls with potential clients?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. So we didn't get to talk about this earlier, so I have to ask you before we jump off of this call, this session, and that is, what book, quote, or scripture inspires you every time you read it, and why? What one gets you up when you're feeling like something's not quite right? What is that thing, one thing that inspires you to keep moving forward? Because even you going through your health issues you had back in the day and then came up to this, you know, something has to keep you going to continue to do this great work for your community.
Oh, definitely. I will say it's not a book. It's an artist.
Okay.
But particularly her song, Still I Rise. Okay. That song is by Yolanda Adams. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
That song, what is strange is that song, she's been my artist throughout my life. I actually, this is sidetrack. I actually went to the church that her church would always visit. So as a little girl, I saw her when she was a teenager, tearing the house up, you know, just tearing everybody up, messing everybody up with her vocals. Uh-huh. And so when she became an artist, I always followed her. And throughout my life, her songs have ministered to me. But that one song, And Still I Rise, it's still, I can hear that song, and I can even think about all the times that I played that song, and it gave me the hope, the strength to know this is not the end. You're going to get up and you're going to keep on going, and there's better for you, and Still I Rise.
Wow, that just brought tears to my eyes, because mine is This one, He Knows My Name by Tasha Cobbs.
Ooh, yeah.
I can play that over and over again, especially those days or mornings or midday when you're just not feeling quite yourself and need that extra lift. I can put that one on and it just does something wonderful for me, yeah. You know, to keep me moving forward and knowing that, you know, He knows my name, He knows what I'm going through, and He's there for me. But I used to love that song. I haven't heard a Yolanda Adams song in so long. I'll have to pull that one up this weekend.
I'm telling you, that lady, that her vote, God gifted her. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, she's brought me through so many things. But I have a quote that is just a quote that God just gave me, or I just thought about it. And I'm like, I just need to write that down because this is so true. There are three things in life that you can't control. People, time, and life's risk. So you can't control people, time, or life's risk. And I had to go through so many challenges that made that real and true. Mm-hmm. But you can prepare. You can understand.
Right.
And you can do the best that you can to mitigate that, you know, those risks involved. And so.
Yep. I love that quote that you shared with your bio, because that was in your bio at the bottom. I just was like, when I read that last week, I was like, yeah, that is so true and so powerful at the same time. It has been a pleasure, and I want to make sure everyone knows where they can connect to you so they can do a discovery call with you and ask more questions and hopefully sign up with you. So you're on LinkedIn. You're also on Facebook. And then we also have your website there. And I really do. I know I'm going to need to schedule a discovery call with you myself just to get more details, because what you shared today was golden. And I need to dig a little bit deeper just for my corporation, my business here.
Definitely, you know? Definitely.
So in case you miss this, we also, on my website, I will also have Sabrina's interview on the website, and also where you can connect to her. So when you're on my page, we'll have a button so you can connect and know it will take you right to her website, and you can find out more information and call, ask questions, and schedule your discovery call. But Sabrina is a wealth of knowledge on this, so I hope you take the opportunity to connect with her. So I also wanted to say thank you, Ms. Sabrina, for joining me. Like I said, when I met you in New York over that quick breakfast we had, because it was so many of us in the room and so many of us at the table, but it was just like, I have to hear her story and let her tell her story on my own platform. So I thank you for sharing with us today. I thank you for everyone who supported us live today. And then make sure you follow Sabrina. She's just an amazing and inspiration, and just a wonderful person. So hopefully we can collaborate in some other way this year, because actually we will see each other in
DC
come July. So we graduate from the Goldman Sachs program. So I'm just clapping on that. It has been amazing. I don't know. I haven't seen you since New York because we're in smaller cohort groups, but I'm looking forward to actually having a face-to-face conversation when we're in DC. And just,
I want to definitely thank you. Thank you for trusting me with your audience. You know, so thank you so much.
No. So thank you everyone for joining us, and make sure you join us next month for our next guest. We will be posting that soon, who the next guest will be for the month of July. Everyone have a wonderful holiday. And thank you again, Sabrina, for joining me today.
Thank you.